Good Sunday morning to you, and welcome to the house of the Lord. Let us worship God together. I have several things to share with you in the way of announcements this morning. As we begin our worship, we're going to start with Amy. Amy? It's on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just want to thank everyone who signed up for helping out with Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. I wanted to let you know that you're all invited. Please come and eat if you can. And as you're out and about this week, ask everybody, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Hey, if you don't have anything, come to the church for lunch. We are looking really good on soups, so thank you for everyone who signed up to bring soups. Pies are looking a little low, so if anyone has a pie, it could be store-bought or a dessert or anything. And also, we could use a couple more hands Wednesday evening at 6 to set up if anyone is free, maybe on Wednesday. Oh, Jan just signed up. Good. Okay. Thanks, Jan. Judy and I will be there, and maybe Janine, too. So we're looking forward to Thanksgiving Day, and thank you all for your help and support. Sorry, one more thing.
I didn't change it.
Okay, I don't know if we have...
He changed.
Okay. We just realized that next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent.
Mm-hmm.
That means we have to get this Christmas tree up between now and then. All right, so we'll be thinking about that.
That's as far as I've got.
Okay, well, follow Amy on that. She'll lead us through it, maybe. All right, I'll put this down, John, and go back to mine. I wanted to just share with you, I don't get this done. I want to do it every Sunday, and I've been failing to do it. But we've got two cards. If you are our guest today, we'd really love to be able to stay in touch with you. This manila-colored card is a way. If you would give us just one way to contact you, however you'd prefer to be contacted, that would be great. You don't have to fill out the whole thing. But if you are our guest today, we really want to stay in touch and welcome you. With all our hearts. The other one is the yellow prayer card, and if you will fill one of those out, if you have a prayer request or a need or a name or a situation, and put those in the offering plates. You can do the same thing with the guest cards as well. Either way, they'll come back to me, and our team will work on it. So this Sunday, today, is the last Sunday of the Christian year. How about that? The last Sunday of the Christian year, because next Sunday, as Amy said, begins Advent. So today we call the Festival of Christ the King. And we celebrate the King and Lordship of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And we look toward His life in the cradle and in the cross and beyond. So I'd like to mention some other announcements. The Community Thanksgiving Dinner is Thanksgiving Day 11 to 1, as Amy said. Our youth and children's program is December 15th, Stories and Songs. I believe these things are all in your bulletins, in the inserts. So please mark them and put them on your calendar. Poinsettias, she mentioned. There are other inserts in the bulletin. You can figure those out, the blue and the green, as you go. And I wanted to just point out that we'd like for you to pass along those hospitality folders that are in your row. And another thing is to tell you that Cammie and Hudson are here with us today. And we've talked about them, and they're not quite here yet. There, my glasses. I thought you were here. Yes, They, along with Cammie's husband, Kyle, were our Holy Family last year on Christmas Eve. You may remember Hudson was a lot smaller back then. I saved the purple cloth that he was wrapped in when he was in the manger, and I think that's a pretty sweet thing to have. So if there's someone in your family with a baby, I'd like to know about that, because as yet we still don't have a baby Jesus for Christmas Eve. So if you've got any leads on that, give me a call. And please plan now to bring your guests, to invite your guests. to invite your family and friends to our services, 5 and 7 p.m. on December 24th. Who can you invite? I invite you to be eager about that and to let's grow this place. Let's welcome especially neighbors and friends who don't already have a church home and who might be able to find their place here and worship with us. That's all the announcements for today. That's enough. Let us begin our worship and worship God together with music. Tyler?
If you would rise for number 77, How Great Thou Art, we'll sing the first, second, and last verse.
Let us join in number 208 in your hymnal, the Canticle of Zechariah. Mm-hmm.
Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to set the chosen ones free. The Lord has raised up for us a mighty Savior from the house of David. Through the holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
To show mercy to our forebears, and to remember the holy covenant.
This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship without fear, holy and righteous in the Lord's sight, all the days of our life.
Hail to the Lord's anointed, great David's greater son.
And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way.
To give God's people
in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Hail to the Lord's anointed, thou David's greater son.
And now please let your kids come down to the front for our children's sermon, and as you take your seats.
It's great to have company, and it's great to have kids. So we celebrate you, we cherish you. I brought something I wanted to share with you today. You have any idea what this is?
Cradle.
A cradle. A particular kind of cradle, maybe? Do you have any idea? We're walking well and experimenting with stairs. This looks like a cradle that you might put a baby in. How about who would you put? Jesus. Okay, this looks like a manger scene type cradle, doesn't it? What it really looks like is a trough where the cattle eat hay. It would probably have a block on this end to hold the hay in, and it'd be much bigger than this. But it looks like a manger, and that's really what a manger is. It's a place for hay for the animals. But I wanted to talk to you about this particular one today. This cradle has a design that I wanted to point out. What does this X part, I just said it, what does this end part look like? An X, right? And we have, for centuries, used the X to represent Christ. Not because it's a variable for you mathematicians, it's not that. At all. It's not like X and anyone will do to fill the variable. The X is a sign for us of the cross. And as Jesus carried the cross, that familiar Lenten scene where he walks along on the streets of Jerusalem and he's got the cross on his shoulder, it's kind of carried like this, like an X, and the long parts dragging the ground behind him. So it sort of looks like an X. So the X and the cross are very closely related. This is a manger for Jesus. And so it has the X on it for that reason. But if you turn it just a little bit, you can see that it becomes a cross. The X becomes a cross. And of course, we know that that's what Jesus died on. He was crucified on the cross. So here we have, in this one object, we have the birth, the manger there, and also a symbol of the cross, which was his dying and his rising, because we know that the cross is empty. So this sort of tells the whole story, and I just thought it would be really neat, since today is the last Sunday of the Christian year and next Sunday begins Advent. I think it would be really cool to think about Jesus every time we see an X or a cross, okay? There are crosses all over the place. You'll find them everywhere you look, and you will enjoy checking them out and letting them help to remind you of Jesus and his life and his love. Let's pray. Would you hold hands with somebody and let's pray together? God, I give you thanks for these little ones and for the life that they share and the life that they are, because we know that your very breath breathes in them the light of the world. Help us to respect them and to love them and to hold them close, and in everything to support them and love them and all of their friends, all of the others. God, we love you and we thank you for loving all of your children, including each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming to church. Children's sermon. Bye, Hudson. See you later, grandson. So, it's time for our mission moment, and Amy is going to share again. No, it's not Amy this time. It is Judy. And I'm going to bring Judy the microphone and let her share our mission of this time of the year. And
am I on?
You are.
I am on. Okay. You might notice that some angels flew in overnight, and it is the start of our Prison Ministries Angel Tree Project. And I'd like to tell you that there are several Angel Tree projects at this time in town. The Salvation Army has an Angel Tree, and a wonderful group called Commerce Littlest Angels has an Angel Tree out at Walmart. The difference between those two Angel Trees, and by the way, Littlest Angels serves about 300 families here in our Commerce area. They are fantastic. The one difference between those Angel Trees and the Prison Ministries Fellowship Angel Tree is that ours is only done in churches, and it has kind of a religious motivation. It doesn't have to be a Methodist church. There are churches of all denominations that have the Prison Ministries Angel Tree Project. And it has two religious goals. One, of course, is to give kids who have an incarcerated parent the best Christmas that they can have, since they will not have it or be able to spend it with their parent or, sadly, in some cases, their parents. And I didn't understand one of the nice things about this until I heard a story from people who delivered an Angel Tree presents. You know, kids during the year, when they have a school event or a sporting event, and they don't have a parent with them, they have to do it without one of their parents. But when they go back to school in January and they have received Angel Tree gifts, if someone says, "Well, what did you get for Christmas?" For once, they can say, "Well, my dad gave me so-and-so and such-and-such." The other of our goals is to encourage inmates to give God a second look. We have no idea what these inmates, why these inmates are incarcerated, and it's none of our business. But we're hoping that the love that goes through us reaches them, and they, as the current phrase is, will do a deep dive into faith and find themselves, although incarcerated, probably freer than they've been for a long time. Just a couple of nuts and bolts. The gifts, we say, should cost between $15 and $30. Now, if you happen to find a gift that's on sale and is less than $15, go for it. On the other hand, if what the child wants is more than $30, a good source of a less expensive version is Walmart online. You can get gifts that are comparable, but they may not exceed the $30 limit. If by chance you're getting a clothing item, could you sneak a box in for the clothing item? We're always short on boxes. And so if your box comes with a clothing item, it's easier to wrap. And you know, every kid likes to unwrap something that's been wrapped and scotch taped and bowed. Now, you'll find outside a sign for tracking cards. And please, if you take an angel, fill out a tracking card. It will have the child's name, and the code will be a series of numbers. The first number indicates the family's number, and then there's a dash, and then there is the child in the family. So if there are three kids, the first one will be one, and then whether it's a clothing item or a toy. The angels, it says on the angels to take the back off and stick it on the box. We actually have little cards that we put the parents' greeting. The parent, incarcerated parent, can write a greeting, and we write those out on the cards. But the angels do need to come back on the package or in the package so we'll know whose it's for. We're requesting that you return the gifts as quickly as you can. We have kind of a quick turnaround time this year because our party is on the 15th. The date after that would have kids out of school, and we weren't sure, first of all, how many helpers we might have, and secondly, how many families we might have come to our party. And I just want to say again, we've done this for about 20 years now, and thank you for your generous support in behalf of the kids and their incarcerated parent.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you for sharing that with us. I hope you will be able to participate. So now it's time for our offerings, and the ushers are ready to come and collect up all our gifts. Let us make a prayer as they come. Oh God, we ask your blessing to continue on the life of this congregation and its people. May those blessings be returned portion by portion to you for the work of your kingdom in this time and place. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Thank you.
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
And now for number 98, To God Be the Glory.
Take your seats. We have one yellow card, and that is from Kathy Giles, asking for prayers for her sister, Debbie Hood, for healing. So, in addition to those, I highlight some of the others, but you can look at the list. It's in our bulletin. The family of Tim Ford, they're not in there, but I did a funeral service in Wolf City yesterday, so I'd like for you to remember Tim and his wife, Mary. Tim is the one who passed. We're also invited to pray for Brenda Arnold and for Betty and Jean Castleberry. They are struggling, and Jean is back at Briarcliff, some of you know, and I've seen him there already, and they are struggling with some things, so keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Joel Cavanley, still recovering, and Walt Parker, who is recovering from a fall and doing pretty well. I saw him smiling this week, even. So those are the ones that I know about. No doubt there are others in your mind and on your hearts, and let us lift them all to God in prayer, beginning with some moments of silent prayer, and then I will lead us. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you at this time knowing that you are already present with us. And we really can't escape your presence, nor do we or nor should we want to. But we know that you are with us wherever we go, that you go behind us to encourage us, that you go before us to lead the way. We celebrate your companionship and your incredible action through the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to be with us, to live with us, and to know the human struggles that we carry and share. God, as we struggle with raising a family or raising our parents, and we trust that you are beside us raising us along the way, that raising is not something that just happens one time when we get up from the altar or when we are baptized, but that raising is something that continues to happen to us and something that you continue to do for us. Something that we should continue to ask for again and again. As in the prayer, raise us to new life along with Jesus Christ, who showed us the way to that resurrection. God, our world is so broken. We need help. We need hope. We need to stop backbiting and fussing with each other as a community, as a nation, as people of faith, and even in some churches. We need to find ways to not just play on the same team so that we can make progress, but that we need to make sure we're on the right team. And that would be the team of the kingdom of God. And God, we know that you draw all people into that. It's hardly possible for us to understand how large that is. But we trust that however large it is, you are the ruler of it. And that is what we seek. And we seek to follow in Jesus' footsteps when he says, and his words, when he says, thine is the kingdom. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We'll say those words in a moment. Help us not just to say those words ever, but to pray them and to lift them as our deepest wish to walk with Jesus in following you. Oh God, we pray for these whom we have named and others that we name in our hearts for health and for hope, for those who are hurting, those who are struggling with finances or with health or with children or with parents. We trust that you are by our side, and for that we feel grateful. For that we give thanks. We also lift Kathy and her sister Debbie for your grace in these moments. And now, as we pray together as people of faith, in this time, we lift the very words of Jesus, how he said to his disciples and to us, pray like this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. It can be found on page 83 of your pew Bible. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Jim, and I am aware of the time. We've had a good morning so far, and I hope to make it a little better by talking about ways that we move forward in our faith. Today is, as we've said already, the last Sunday of the Christian year, and we celebrate what we call the Festival of Christ the King today. And that works two ways. Christ is the King of the cradle, of course, as he was born into this life and began his work and his own living with his own family of human beings, and then with his disciples. But we also celebrate that he is the King of the cross, because the cross did not hold him. The cross did not end him. That the resurrection and hope that brings us to understanding his kingship is real and alive. So it's odd that we read today what seems like a Lenten scripture, but it shows where we are. And it also shows how Jesus responded to where he was. That line where Jesus is on the cross in the middle and there is a thief on either side of him, that was done to humiliate him, I think. Maybe it was just that they had three people to crucify that day. I don't know that much about the tradition, but it's a cruel way to die. And Jesus was confronted with these two, one on either side. One of them who was insulting him, saying, aren't you the Christ? Aren't you the one who could get us out of this? Aren't you the one who could fix this? But the other one, not nearly so self-centered, was aware of who Jesus was. And he said, as if on his knees, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Those simple words, not words of protest or words of argument, words of consent, words of an understanding of what was about to happen, that he was about to breathe his last, and yet he still found hope in this mysterious Messiah hanging on the middle cross. And he was rewarded simply ask for a favor, not something grand. Simply, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus went all the way with his answer. Jesus looked at him, I'm sure, with eyes of love, from one cross to another, and said to him, as if he could touch him on the arm, I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise. What an amazing gift. Jesus is in the redemption business. And sometimes we so take that for granted. Sometimes we count on it when we're really not living in it or living into it. It doesn't mean that we can live well enough to deserve God's grace through Jesus Christ, but it does mean that we need to take the gift seriously and live graceful lives in response to God's gift. When Jesus was calling disciples, Nathanael answered almost prophetically, Rabbi, you are the Son of God, the King of Israel. Nathanael had that sense, even in his distance from Jesus. And at one point in Jesus' ministry, people responded so enthusiastically that they were about to come and take him by force to make him their king. But that kind of kingship is just not what Jesus had in mind. When Jesus comes into Jerusalem, he rides on a donkey, not a white steed surrounded by soldiers. He rides on a donkey, which is a sign of peace, not a sign of war. And yet the people still greet him with shouting, blessed is the king. And there's that political word. That blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. And kingship, if you follow it through, kingship is the center around which the charges are made against Jesus. And when he is brought to Pilate, are you the king of the Jews, is what Pilate asks him. And only hours later, Pilate gives his own sarcastic affirmation in the legally required posting of the statements placed on the cross, written above where Jesus died. This is the King of the Jews. Claiming to be king was what got him in trouble politically. But he didn't mean to be talking about political realm. He was talking about the kingdom of God. And we have a better word for that in the Christian tradition. The word is reign. Not rain like falls from the sky, but R-E-I-G-N. It's related to the word regal. It's got the R-E-G in there. If you study the linguistics of it, I think you'll find that. The reign of God. That's the kind of kingship that Jesus meant to preside over. The reign and rule of God, not politically, but internally, spiritually. There's another thief, though, not the one who wanted to challenge him, but the one who came humbly, the penitent thief, and he said, remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingly realm. So, in one way, the term king can be used as a ridicule and a sarcasm almost. And in another way, it is a granting of authority. When we say we make Christ the Lord of our life, when we say we welcome Christ's lordship, we're making him the ruler, the king over our lives. And today proves it.
this last day of the Christian year we call the Feast of Christ the King. How can one look at a cross, at the cross, and call Jesus a king? How can one look at a cross and call it a throne where the king would reside? Seems like there must be a better text to use for the sermon on the last Sunday of the Christian year, just before we start Advent and all of its joy and hope. But I've got a little surprise for you, some of you. The word Advent means the coming forward of the kingdom. But it's not talking about the coming of Christ in the manger at Christmas. When we speak of Advent in the faith sense and the season of Advent in our liturgical sacramental year, we're not talking about the birth of the baby, as vital and huge as that is. We're talking about the return of the risen Christ, the Lord of life, the one whom we mean when we say Jesus is Lord. We're talking about the coming reign of God. That's what Advent means. That's what's coming on the way. Oh, it's great to still talk about the cradle, and we will again. We talk about the cradle, the manger, the little white box with the X on the end of it. But the cradle and the cross were both made by a carpenter. The cradle and the cross were both made by a carpenter. Jesus learned carpentry in Joseph's shop. And he continued it. And he made things. He made things. I don't know what all. But Jesus was a carpenter. And what a great image for a Savior. What a great idea for Jesus to have been a carpenter who builds things. And when you start building something as a carpenter, you'll know you have to have some plans, you have to have some procedures, you got to get your parts laid out, cut right, and sometimes that's the hardest part. Get them cut just right before you start putting them together. How do you need to let Jesus put you together or together again? How do you need to accept his grace and to let it glow and grow in your life? How do you need to hold on to that grace and to hold on to the carpenter, the one with the tools to carve you and make you into exactly what God has made you to be? Wow. The two men on the cross were so close to Jesus there, with Jesus in the middle. Both of those men, those criminals, were representative of our own inner struggle. When I carve on my own character, which of those three am I choosing to become? One man carves himself, and then he wants to mock the others. He wants to claim special privilege and condemn even the faithful. He makes demands. What keeps me from becoming that man? The other thief on the other side acknowledges his own sin, his own need for grace, and he leaps to the defense of Jesus. He takes the mocking that is aimed at the vulnerable Jesus and says, "If you are going to mock anyone, mock me, for I deserve death." What can you and I do to become that one? Not the one who brags on ourselves and how well we are put together, but the one who acknowledges our need for grace, for hope. Perhaps we can do it by becoming an advocate for the vulnerable, to providing a gift for an angel tree child. to caring for a neighbor, or visiting someone who is sick, sharing your resources, sharing food at your table with someone who's lonely. The list is endless, and the time is not. But I encourage you to think, what can you do to become an advocate for the vulnerable ones, aware of your own need for grace? And last, what can you do to make sure that our last words for forgiveness and love are not condemning somebody else, but aimed at the grace of another? Two men, just a few feet apart, Jesus in the middle. One received salvation and hope that day in that terrifying moment. And the other one died in bitterness. And Jesus is still in the middle between them. Which way will you lean?
If today is a day for you to come to Christ, to come to faith, to come to hope, to learn how to lean, then I invite you to make your deals with God as you need to, where you sit or at the altar. Or if today is a day for you to join this congregation or renew your faith in some other way, you are welcome and invited to come as we sing this hymn of invitation. Tyler? As we go to our places, and as we are led out by the flame of Christ, the light of the world, let us lean in His ways. Let us follow in His footsteps, and let us remember that He is the light of this world. Go from this place, grow in His grace, and glow with His face, the face of the risen Lord. Amen.
Oh.
be with you till we meet again.